Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to church. Praise the Lord. 2020. We're in the 2020s. Glory to God. The 2020s. It's just, I don't know about you, but it just seems like we couldn't be here possibly. Praise the Lord. It just seems like it was so, it was just yesterday we were going to party like it was 1999. Glory to God, and today it's 2020. It's 21 years after. And I remember when, that song came out, everybody was looking ahead. They thought, man, that's in the distant future. Now, we've far surpassed that. You know, praise the Lord, we survived Y2K, and we survived the Mayan apocalypse. Praise the Lord. No one died in 2012. Remember that? Some of you are looking at me like, what the heck's going on? Well, no, there was they told us that the Mayans told, or they thought it was going to end or something. I don't know what it was, but glory to God. We have faith in God, we just keep going on into glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some people might get it close, but God always gets it right. Aren't you glad? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a very special announcement today before I kick off the service, really. Glory to God. If you get a chance, there's a young man in this church today who's turning 12, or has turned 12. Turned 12 this morning. Amen, right? Am I right? Is it today? Praise the Lord. Caleb Swanson. Will you stand up back there? Caleb Swanson, faithful. Everybody got to see who he is. Go ahead and stand up. Yeah, there he is. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So Caleb is, of course, the Swanson family are faithful members of our church. You know, they came to us via Facebook. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think it was. And she reached out to us many years ago, several years ago. And praise the Lord started coming. Hasn't quit. Glory to God. And, our families, and they're just faithful. Praise the Lord. Her kids are faithful members of the youth group. Glory to God. And just awesome, awesome, mighty young men of God. And why am I doing a Caleb Swanson commercial or a Swanson children commercial? Praise the Lord. It's because they're awesome. Amen. And so if it's on your heart, as we do around here, just bless the guy. We like to bless people when it's their birthday. If I don't know, I can't say anything, but well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's what Caleb looks like, so I'm sure that he will be happy to have your well wishes today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today's message, my wife didn't know this when she was ministering on John 8, 31 and 32, praise the Lord, is today is called Students of the Word. Glory to God. And it just seemed right to kick off this year, with just a reminder of what is most important in our lives, what we need to strive for, what we need to look for. Praise the Lord. I'm going to warn you ahead of time, this message is going to be pretty simple. It's going to be probably all scriptures that you've heard before, sometimes many times before, sometimes many times this year. Actually, one of the scriptures you hear every time you show up to God, there's some simplicity to it, but it was on my heart to tell you, don't let the simplicity of this message deceive you. Just because it's simple doesn't mean that everybody gets it or has it. Amen. In fact, I wouldn't preach a message unless I knew I had direction by the Lord to do so. And I had direction specifically on this. And I know that because even though we can sit in church and we can be Christians and we can show up there every single week and do our best, we can still lose track of these teachings, the things that are in here today. And in fact, a lot of times if we are missing something in our life or something isn't happening, the reason is attached to exactly what I'm preaching on today. Amen. And so, the Lord thought it to be very important that we become students of the Word. And so that's what we need to make our goal. Amen. And our aim. But I'm going to start 1 Peter 2:2. I don't want you to turn there. We're just going to pull it up here. Praise the Lord. Well, we're not going to pull it up. So I guess you could write it down and look at it later. Praise the Lord. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Praise God. I love what, Peter was telling us is to, as newborn babes, just like a child needs the basic things just to get by, just to live and grow. We know that a lot of the growth of a child, a lot of the knowledge they get is in the early years of their life anyways, amen, and that they learn most of the things that they're going to learn in that time period. But the same thing is with us, that there's foundational things that be put into us, and we need to desire, the Bible says to desire the pure milk of the Word, amen? And so that's what we need to do. We need to be people who strive after, we can make the Word complicated. I had a meeting with a young man this week, and we got into some really great discussion, really, about the Word, and it was actually really refreshing and really enjoyable. But, sometimes we can overcomplicate the things that God wants to do or who God is, we can overcomplicate it by overcomplicating it, you know, just, you know, maybe trying to see or read too much into it, you know. But there's simplicity in the Word of God, and that's the wonderful thing about it, is that nobody would be without excuse, that if you can hear the Word of God, that you can understand it, amen. And so if you find your life getting complicated, if you find yourself getting frustrated, maybe I don't know if I'm doing right or I'm not, you know, you're getting too wrapped up into the wrong things, amen. We need to desire the simplicity of the Word, and we need to let the Lord know that too. We need to go before the Lord. God, I desire the simplicity of your Word, the things, the basic things, the things that you want me to know. And of course, we want all of what God, if he wants to take us into deeper things. I'm not saying the deeper things are wrong. Of course, the deeper things are good, but you know, it's really important to not lose track of the basics, amen, the basics of Christianity. Praise the Lord. And probably the most basic thing in Christianity is the written Word of God. Amen? So turn with me to John 8:31. I don't remember ever preaching on this scripture before. I don't know as though we've ever pulled it up in this church. And I know they had to go digging for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we're only going to read John 8:31. We're not going to even go to verse 32. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Then Jesus said to those Jews, now we know that he said to those Jews because that's who he was talking to at the time, but this does not mean that Jesus is only talking to the Jews, amen? Because the Bible says that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither male nor female. God doesn't care what you are, what you look like, praise the Lord. If you listen to the Word, glory to God, then the Word applies to you, amen? In fact, you know, I recently was renewed in my understanding of something, even in something, you know, when a minister has prophesied something, and you're like, well, I wonder if that's for me. Well, I love what this Pastor Michael said to us recently. He said, if it's for you, if you need it, then take it. You know, if you hear something that's being preached about it that stirs you, and you're like, man, I need that in my life, grab hold of it and take it. Say, that is for me. If you're sensing it, that means the Lord is working on you, amen? And then that's an area that you need to grab hold of. So if you don't see it in your life, maybe you're bummed. Maybe you hear the Word and you get a little bit bummed and you say, I don't know if it's for me or not, but I really would like that. Well, praise the Lord. You're sitting in church and you're sitting in church to learn something, amen? Now, I'm going to teach you something right now. It's for you. The Word of God is for you. This whole Word is written for you. It's to help you, to increase you, to help you go further in life, to go further in God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so when it says that Jesus said to those Jews who believed, you could very easily say that Jesus said to all of those who believed him, amen, or who still believe him, amen. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And of course, we know that the truth will set us free, that you'll know the truth and truth will set us free. But I want to focus on this one scripture on purpose. If you abide in my word, okay, this is so important. Now, first of all, I want you to know that a disciple is not just somebody who walked and talked with Jesus. It's not somebody who walked on water. I mean, they are all included. They were disciples. But a disciple is simply means a pupil or a student. A disciple of the Word or a disciple of God is one who is a student of God. Amen. Who learns all about the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus said this to those who believed him. So if we believe him, that makes us disciples. Amen. And so if we are disciples, we might as well be good disciples, because there's nothing worse. My wife is a school teacher. She'll tell you there's nothing worse than a student that does not want to learn. Amen. My wife teaches a very controversial subject. She teaches art. And some people think, why do we need art? We don't need art. Well, if you had a full understanding of why we have all these different classes in public schools, it actually makes a lot of sense. Just because you're not an artist doesn't mean you don't need art. Just because you're not, no more than just because you're not an athlete, you don't need physical education. You know, we need to have those things, because these things make us well-rounded individuals. The reason that our country, I'm not doing for art teachers or art classes, but I'm just telling you that there are reasons for things, and we need not to reject things just because maybe we're not the best at it, or because we don't fully understand it even, that we need to embrace those things that make us better people. And of course, here we're talking about the Word. And so my wife would tell you that there's people that come in there and they resist. Why? Because maybe they don't see how art applies to them. And I'm just using this as an example. This is not, again, it's not an art commercial, amen, but It's not a public school commercial or anything like that, but she'll have students that come in and will resist because of it, and then she'll have students that come in. She's even told me about students that are terrible. But they've come in and they've embraced what she's doing. They've embraced the message. And because of that, they always get good grades. Yeah. Well, how many know that if we go through this life and we're going to live a life for God, we might as well get a good grade. Amen. I don't want to get before Jesus and find out, oh man, you were a D at best. No, I want to be an A plus, 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 plus. I want to pass it with flying colors. Amen. Why? Because if I've done that, then I know I've been pleasing to God, and that's what I want to be. Amen. Now, when we know this, that when we are pleasing to God, God is pleased with us, that it opens the door for blessing in our lives. And of course, that's what we want. That's what we want to see. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us that over there in John 15, it tells us that that God is glorified when we bear fruit. And so people who are learning the word, people who are growing, you know, my wife used the example of that, the people that we have in Corey, you know, it's just so wonderful to go down there and to see these people that are growing in the things of God and to hear the transformations in their life. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Just because there isn't a lot of them yet doesn't mean there's not fruit. And so we have to get over this idea of looking at things the way the world looks at them. Amen. If you in your own life, you'll judge your own life. Maybe you're not where you want to be. Amen. Maybe you've come into church for hoping for a change and you've seen some change, but maybe not a lot of change. Well, if you keep pressing towards the mark, you will see all the change that you desire. God will change you if you allow him to do it. But you have to, the key is you have to be a good student. Amen. Now, the key thing here, of course, is he said to those who believed. The first and foremost requirement to be a disciple, which is what you ought to be, the first and foremost requirement to be a good disciple or to be a disciple at all is to be somebody who believes. That's somebody who trusts God. That means you have to look to the Word and say, the Word is truth. The Word is my truth. You may say to me, well, Pastor Jeff, I don't understand all the Word. I don't get all the Word. That's okay. As long as you can say that it's the truth. If you can just judge it as the truth to start with, you will open your heart up to all the things that God wants to teach you about that truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. So a disciple is a student. Let's be good students. Amen? And so as we go through this year, as we strive for another year, another blessed year, you know, if you came out of 2019 and maybe say 2019 was a bad year, a hard year, you know, it was a year I'd rather not repeat. Maybe you say it was a great year. It doesn't matter. Next year can be this year can be a better year. Praise the Lord. The determining factor, and this is what Christians have to realize, the determining factor on whether or not our years or our days are good are not just simply up to the winds. Right. Praise the Lord. It's not just fate that just decides it, you know. It's that Christmas song, they say, if the fates allow. I never liked that, you know. And then I've heard another version says, if the Lord allows. And I don't really like that either because even if you say that, it's like, no, because the Lord wants to allow it. It's not about whether or not the Lord allows. It's whether or not we connect to what God's doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. God will change you if you connect to what he's doing. You notice in order to be, we know this. If you go to school and you're not a good student, it's kind of a waste that you're there, right? Praise the Lord. But if you don't even trust in it to begin with, you're never going to get to that place where you're even a student. Yeah, right. So you can't even determine whether you're a student or not. So we first have to believe it, and then we can be good students. Amen? And so there's an order to things. We want to make sure we have things in the right order. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Turn with me to Romans 12. Praise 2. Scripture number 2. Praise the Lord. Scripture number 2 that you have never heard before. Praise the Lord. Romans 12, 2, verse 1. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, people, as a pastor, people come to me all the time with prayer requests. They come with needs. They come with, wanting direction in their life. And I'm just going to tell you the thing that I found. If you're not sowing it, you're not growing it. In other words, if you're not sowing the word, not grow what the word produces. Praise the Lord. So many people are deceived by this. So many, I cannot tell you how many people are deceived by this. If you are not sowing the word, if you do not become a good student of the word, you will not grow the things or grow by the things that the word produces. It won't be apparent in your life. Amen. This is why, I've been a Christian all my life, and there's been a lot of people that have been Christians all their lives that didn't have any fruit, and the reason is because they never became good stewards of the Word, or students of the Word, or stewards of the Word, either way you want to look at it. Both. You know, God has given us this precious, precious Word, and, you know, a good place to start, and I say this all the time, is, you know, we start with Sunday morning. We come to church, and we hear the Word. Take notes. Write the Scriptures down, the Scriptures that you are getting. If you go to a church that is being led by the Lord, I'm not saying that all churches aren't or are. I'm just saying if you go to one that is, the Scriptures that are being given to you on Sunday morning are Scriptures that you need in your life. Amen? And so to be a good student, what does a good student do? They'll take notes in class. Man, my wife had a class when she was in college where the professor said, nobody gets an A in my class. Well, my wife wasn't acceptable to her because she was a student that didn't want to get anything but A's. And if she didn't get an A, she would do whatever she could to make sure that it became an A. I mean, this woman is crazy incredible. Amen. Praise the Lord. But she said, oh yeah, well, that's not going to be so. Praise the Lord. And so she would show up, 7 in the morning at this professor's office. And she would be asking questions and just bothering them and pestering them and nonstop, just was after it. She was a good student. Yeah. Guess what? That class that nobody got an A in, she ended up getting an A in it. Why? Because she made herself a good student. Yeah. She determined ahead of time that she wasn't going to accept the status quo, that she was going to be greater and do more. Amen? Yeah. All that, she wasn't even saved yet. Praise the Lord. And glory to God. So you can do good things when you're not saved, but that doesn't make that doesn't necessarily get you any brownie points with God. Praise the Lord. We want to be good students of the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when we get the Word, we write it down. We take notes. We study it. We go back over it. And I'll tell you, if you're sitting there, and I don't know if this was ever this way for me or not. I know that some people deal with different things. And if you're ever sitting there thinking, man, that's just boring to me. See, you're not reading the Word right. Because every time I get into the Word, I can't open the Bible. I'll tell you what, you know, in Christianity, so in my previous life, I had a lot of opposition. Since I've been a Christian, I still have opposition. But I'm going to tell you where the opposition is, and that's in my relationship with God. God has never made his relationship with me hard, and it's not difficult to have a relationship with God. In the first place it starts is right here. You get acquainted with God's Word, and he'll start speaking to you. Yeah. Amen? And so what I'm saying is in my private time, when I spend time with the Lord, it's not difficult for me. The only struggles that I have in life either come from outside sources via people or the devil. Praise the Lord. Sometimes from my own, my own inconsistencies or my own areas of struggle or whatever, but it's never my relationship with God. And so the wonderful thing is, one of the wonderful reprieves I have is that I have this, that I turn to the Word all the time. And when I open the Word, God speaks to me. I see things. I hear from the Lord. You could not convince me that God is not real because I am convinced, absolutely convinced, that he is. Amen. And the reason I am is because I have a relationship with God. See, people who don't want to live right, people who don't live right, they're people that don't really have a relationship with God. Now, I'm not talking about, if you make a mistake or something like that. Of course, we can all make mistakes. We can all get into trouble. We can all do the wrong thing sometimes. But if you're habitually living wrong, it's because you haven't determined that you want a relationship with God yet. Amen? And a relationship with God is the most important one that we can have. Glory to God. But it starts with getting to know God. Amen. I don't know, I just want to talk for a minute. There's some things we have to understand. Our relationship with God is no different than our relationships with other people. If you want a good relationship with another person, it's very, very simple. Praise the Lord. You may have come in here today and said, Pastor Jeff, I got some complicated relationships. They don't need to be. It's this simple. Praise the Lord. You give a relationship. You get time. Take time to get to know somebody. You get take the time to find out about another person, their character, and stuff like that. And you can determine very quickly whether or not you want a relationship with them. And if it's a person that's just not going to be good for you, then you can just determine not to have a relationship with them. Amen. It's that simple. Praise the Lord. Because relationships should not be that difficult, especially for a Christian. A relationship should be a very simple thing. Now, if you were in a marriage that maybe where it is, well, then you need to pray for that person. You need to either pray or leave, one of the two. But we're never called to live in a place of where there's a lack of peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have to determine between the Lord. But if you have a relationship with God, you will know the right things to do. Praise the Lord. But like I was saying, with any relationship, if you don't invest in it, you are not, if you don't figure out, if you don't find out the character, the personality of the person that you want the relationship with, you're not going to grow. It's not going to grow. It's not going to be anything exciting. It's never going to be anything good. If I just came home, if my wife and I both just came home from work every night and we just, just went into our separate places and never spent any time with each other and just did our own things, praise the Lord, we wouldn't have a good relationship. The reason that my wife and I have a good relationship is because we both of us invest in it. Amen. And sometimes when one can't invest as much, the other one's investing more, And so, but we both invest in that relationship. Well, the same thing goes with God. If you want a relationship with God, let me back this up a little bit further. If you want to receive anything from God, it does not happen aside from relationship. You cannot get it out of relationship. Why? Because most people aren't going to come up to my house and say, hey, I want to get into your refrigerator and eat your food, and I'm just going to say, go ahead. They're not going to come in and say, hey, I want to sleep on your couch tonight. I'm not going to say, go ahead. Neither would you. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That is not what Jesus was talking about having, being good to strangers and stuff like that. Now, I'm not saying that that could never happen, but I'm saying, by and large, we don't just open our doors to anybody. Our doors are open to those who are closest relationship, who are in our closest circles. Amen? Praise the Lord. The same thing goes with God. His life. If you are living outside the blessing of God, you got to check up on your relationship with Him. Praise the Lord. If you just, if you come to church, listen, if you're a Christian, there's a Sunday only Christian, you come to church on Sundays and you don't have anything else to do with God the rest of the week, you don't have a relationship with God. You don't have a relationship with Him. You don't know who He is. You don't know what He'll do. And so everything that you do is just, it's just stabbing in the dark. It's just trial and error. And I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to find much at the end of that. There's a lot of Christians that they try to live. Listen, this doesn't mean that you have to be a pastor. You don't have to turn into a pastor and that you have to, you have this weird idea, whatever your weird idea of a consecrated life is. But all Christians should be consecrated. Consecration is not just for pastors. It's not just for ministers. It is for all the body of Christ. So what is consecration? It's where you said, you know what? I've realized, see, this is what salvation is. I mean, I'm going to reel it back even a little bit more. Simple salvation is this, is you realizing that your life is garbage and that you need a new life. Yeah. The path that you were on wasn't working, so you need a new path. And so you can't get on a new path staying on the path you were on. You can't get a new life clinging to the life that you had. So the more you cling to that old life, the more you're not going to have the life of God. This is why, this sounds like a simple thing, but this is where Christians struggle. They come into the church, they come in, they start hearing the word, they start seeing change, maybe some change, maybe just a little change. But they see something that's valuable that would bring them back. And then they're like, but I want to hold on to my old life. I want to do my old things. Yeah. But those were the things that removed. It doesn't matter what they were. You can sit there and think, well, it wasn't that bad. It was just not good. Consecrate your life to God. And this is what you find. You know what I've found as I've consecrated? I had the same struggle. Sometimes I still have the same struggle because I have flesh. But you know what I've found in consecrating our life to God? Is that every time I consecrate and truly consecrate my life to God, do you know what I mean by that? I give my life to the Lord. I'm just going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to do what you want, not what I want, basically. Amen? Every time I find myself doing that with every situation that arises, God blesses me with things that I love. He blesses, I don't just mean stuff. I'm not just saying that, oh, now I got a wallet that I like, or now that I got the pair of shoes I wanted. I'm not saying that that's not part of it either, but I'm just saying life in general is better when I consecrate. Because the thing that I, every once in a while, I get a little depressed thinking about the truth. You want to know what that is? The truth is that without God, it's pointless. That when I realized that the more, it's kind of like have you ever seen The Matrix? You got the red pill and the blue pill. I can't remember which one does which, but the one keeps you ignorant and the other one lets you know the truth. Well, once you take the one that gives you the truth, there's no going back. And once you realize that it's all pointless without God, you look at life a whole lot differently. Because now all of a sudden you can't just live wherever you want to live. You can't just go wherever you want to go. Because you realize that there's things attached to that life. You realize there's things attached to that place. You know, there's people that they don't even consider, things like where they get fed the Word of God. I'm just going to tell you the truth. The feeding of the Word of God is the most important feeding you'll have in your life. Amen? Because all of your life will be based on how you feed on this Word. How good of a student you are of this Word, it will determine how good your life will be or how bad your life will be. Amen. And so simple Christianity is really just looking at our lives and saying, you know what? I need Jesus. I need some, because it just not, you know, you see this all the time. I love using Hollywood as an example of it. By the way, praise the Lord. When did anyone in Hollywood ever get qualified to tell us who to vote for? I just like, or who to listen to, or like, they come up with all kinds of ideas. It's like, wait, listen, you just act. That's all you, or you sing songs. That's all you do. Like, you, that doesn't make you special in of itself. I know that you think it does. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you, if you have a talent, your talent doesn't make you special. Praise the Lord. Oh, we got to go good on this. Amen. Your talent. I don't care if you're the best football player in the world. It doesn't make you special. It may in football, but in the rest of life, it don't matter. It don't matter. Glory to God. You didn't suddenly get some kind of special points just because you were born with a talent. Yeah, that God gave you. Amen. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever seen a bad actor or a bad actress? Then you would look at a good actor or a good actress and you think, well, it's not just, you know, there is talent involved in it. I'm not denying that. There most certainly is talent involved in it. But they didn't come up with that talent on their own. It was given by a higher power, amen. Well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And so we understand that those things alone don't make you qualified for anything. But anyways, that rant over, back into the other rant about Hollywood. But we look at Hollywood and you see people all the time. This is why people who run after these dreams, they just, especially if they're Christian, they don't understand it. I want to be a famous singer, I want to be a famous singer, I want to be a famous singer. So they go after it, right? Then they become a famous singer. And they find out that their life is no more fulfilled than it was before. I saw one on the news that was complaining about how when you get famous, now all of a sudden everybody's looking into your life. Oh, you liked it when it was paying you. You like it when you're getting your million-dollar paychecks, but you don't like it so much when everybody wants to see it. That's the very nature of that, amen? But what my point is in bringing that up is that people are after these things. They're after fame. They're after fortune. They want to stand in that place. But it doesn't. It never makes you settled in your heart. It never gives you that place of peace. It never gives you God's love. And we are designed to receive God's love. When I said I get a little depressed, I was joking about that. But there is a sober realization that without God, it's all pointless. And so, if you live this life, if you work your job, and you just go to your job every single day, there'll become a point where you'll realize that's not your value in your life. That's not the thing that's going to satisfy you. I see this often as people get, you know, when I've dealt with somebody who's at the end of their life, you know, somebody who is, or somebody who has just passed or something like that. You know, everything that they dealt with up until that point doesn't matter. It doesn't qualify them for anything. Amen. It's just the decisions they made, whether or not to follow God. In fact, if I've done a funeral or preached at a funeral, that it's always the same thing, that you stand there and you tell people, you're telling people, listen, no matter what this person had happened in their life, none of it matters right now. The only thing that matters is, did they connect with God? Amen. Now, of course, we want good lives, and we should live good lives. We should live blessed lives. God wants us to live that way. But a blessed life doesn't mean that it's going to be a life without trial. It doesn't mean that it's going to be a life. I haven't even gotten into the second scripture yet, have I? Well, I told you I was just going to talk because it's just some stuff that's coming out. Amen. But, a blessed life doesn't mean it's going to be a life without trial. We have to understand that not all trial is bad. Because trial, if we're a child of God and we're faithful to God, if we're good students of the Word, trial works for you. Yes. It works for you. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. There wasn't a loud amen there, but I'm just telling you, if you are a child of God, if you are a good student of the Word, Mark down what I'm saying now. If you listen to nothing else I've said today, listen to what I'm saying right now. If you are a child of God, if you are a student of the Word, all trial works for you. It works for you. Okay, I'm gonna use an example of something I don't like to do, and that's lifting weights. I hate to lift weights. I hate to exercise like that. I don't mind going out and chopping wood. I don't mind going out and shoveling some stuff or moving things around, you know, or doing work like that, physical labor. But I hate sitting there in a gym lifting weights. It's like boring to me. Amen. But we know this, that there's something that comes when you do that. When you look at, if you are looking at yourself in the mirror and you're looking at your phone and you're saying, man, I want to look like this buff dude right here. And if you're a woman, don't look like the buff dude. Praise the Lord. Look like a buff woman if that's what you want to look like, but not the buff dude. Amen. But if you want to look like the buff dude and you're looking at the picture, you're looking in the mirror, you're like, I'm not there yet. He paid a price. Amen. What did he do? He put himself in the place of resistance. He went to a gym and he was lifting weights and it was resistant and he didn't love it. Well, maybe he did because some people are goofy like that. They like that. But you know, if you've ever lifted weights, there's resistance and it doesn't feel good. It hurts. Amen. What is that pain? That is trial. That's exactly what trial is. Sometimes trial comes around us. Sometimes it's there. But if you are a student of the Word, that trial, the Bible promises us in Romans 8:28, that trial works for us. Amen. So now if you can look at things true. Now see, if you get into Romans 8:28 and you really get into that and you've consecrated your life to God and you say, Lord, let's go back. Let's step back another step. How do I consecrate my life to God? It's this simple. Lord, I consecrate my life to you. Lord, I give my life to you. Wake up today. You may have to do it every day. Sometimes you may have to do it 20 times a day, whatever. But that's how you do it. It's that simple. You just go before the Lord and say, Lord, you have my life. Yeah, help me with it, but you have my life. I'm putting my life in your hands. I'm not taking it back anymore. I'm putting it in your hands because I know that you're better with it. That's believing in God. You remember when we read in John 8:31, those Jews who believed him? Well, if those Mavelites that believed him, if those Shermanites that believed him, if those Westfieldites believed him, if those whoever, Chautauqua Countyans, praise the Lord, if they believe him, glory to God, if they trust him, you'll put your life in his hands. We got some South Ripley people too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But they're still Chautauqua County, right? That's still, yeah. It ain't quite over the border yet. It's close. Hallelujah. But it's not there. Praise the Lord. But if they put their trust in God, if you trust God with your life, you'll say, Lord, you take it because I know that you'll take it in a good place. See, when we hold on and we resist the giving it to God, what we're doing is we're saying, I don't believe your word. We need to become good students of the Word. Listen, we're in this. This isn't study hall. Amen. This is Christianity 101. Let's get into class. Let's say, okay, we're here. We're going to graduate with high honors. We're going all the way through the end. We want to be who are the high people that graduate. The valedictorians, the summa cum laudes, and the other loud people too. Praise the Lord. Whoever, the other loud sumo wrestlers, okay, praise the Lord. That went over like a lead balloon, but praise God, hallelujah. But we want to be good students of the Word, and then there we will learn by it, we'll receive the things that God has for us, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. So, hallelujah. On to Romans 12:1, since it's halfway through my time and we've got only a couple scriptures here. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that word beseech means to console, encourage, teach, exhort, emphatically urge. I like that. I beseech you, I emphatically urge you. What does emphatically urging look like? Please listen to what I'm saying. Please do what I'm telling you to do, because if you do, there's good things that will happen. Please, 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 please. That's emphatic, right? I beseech you, I emphatically urge you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, here's the thing. Notice he says, I beseech you, brethren. I emphatically urge you, brethren. When it says brethren, it is talking to people who already believe. If you already believe, well, this shouldn't be hard for you to get what he's saying. If you're already at that place of believing, man, you've already made a giant step forward. So let's go in. Like, this is the disconnect. This here is the disconnect with Christians. Oftentimes, when Christians come in, they say, okay, I believe. Maybe I've given my life to God. I start on this direction. But this is the disconnect that they don't realize, praise the Lord, of these next steps of what they're supposed to do. And they, you know, and oftentimes we'll read these scriptures and you'll hear these words like we're about to read, like sacrifice. And you don't like to hear that word sacrifice. Nobody likes a sacrifice. Amen? But you know this, if you're a farmer, you love sacrifice. What do I mean by that? When you plant your seed in the ground, that seed is the food. When you plant that in the ground, it's dying to you. You're sacrificing it. But you know what? That it works a far more greater weight of glory for you. That if you don't plant it, you won't harvest. Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. If you are called according to God's purpose, then all things work together for you. The sacrifice, it doesn't remove from you. It blesses you. It increases you. It does something in your life. Amen? And that's what we desire. So when we say here, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now it says living sacrifice. Aren't you glad? That means you don't have to climb up on the altar and I don't have to kill you. Amen? We ain't got to run a knife through you. We ain't got to drain your blood out or nothing like that in church. It's a living sacrifice. Well, that's what the sacrifices were. They'd throw the animal up on the altar. They'd cut its throat. They'd let it drain out. And that's what they did, you know. And they would burn the flesh and they burned it to God. They would never have that anymore. Amen? But we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? Getting ourselves in line with being holy, acceptable to God, which is reasonable. Amen? It's your reasonable service to say that I'm going to consecrate myself for God. What does it mean to be holy? It means to endeavor to live right. That just live right. Don't be one of those Christians that just want to go do your own thing, that just want to live your own life. Because when you're that Christian, you are a Christian that can't be blessed. You might make it to heaven. And praise the Lord for it if you do. But it's going to be miserable between now and then. Listen, I understand that sometimes being a sacrifice is not the fun thing to do in the moment. You know, the farmer doesn't always love to be putting the corn in the ground unless they've changed their mind and they just know, unless they're harvest-minded. And that's the key right there. Thank you, Lord, for it. Are you a harvest-minded Christian? What's a harvest-minded Christian? It's one that's going to produce fruit. I'm going to have fruit in my life. How do you do that? By sacrifice. Sacrifice. You know, it's a sacrifice sometimes to come to church on a Sunday morning. We've heard that before. I'd go to church except, you know, Sunday mornings are my only time off. Well, congratulations. But if you knew what you were getting out of it, praise the Lord. You know, we're not into this just for what we get out of it anyways. If that's the type of Christian you are, you're off too. Amen. But, you know, that's a poor excuse. To go have a relationship with God, to go sit before the Lord. See, you're not looking at it right. You're not harvest-minded. A harvest-minded Christian knows that when they show up at this place, that they get blessed, even if they don't feel it. You might not feel blessed today. You might sit here and think, you know what? I don't necessarily feel blessed. But if you get this word that I'm preaching in you, I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. How do I know it? Because that's the only way that my life came out of the gutter and was up on top. It's the only way that God was able to raise me up is because He put life in me week after week after week of hearing the word, and sometimes multiple times a week and several times. And then, you know, we go to these meetings. Why? Because we know that there's harvest. There's harvest to going to those meetings. Amen. We do the things that are hard. It's a sacrifice sometimes. It's a huge sacrifice when a church brings a guest minister in. It's a shame that, like, probably half or more of the church won't show up to it. Yeah. You're like, well, there's no excuse for it. Why? Because we were always able to. No matter how many jobs we were working, no matter how many, you're always able to. If it's high on your priority list. That's called sacrifice. But the sacrifice produces harvest. See, some people come to you, they're like, Pastor, I want this in my life. I'm like, yeah, show up to church and you'll have it. Show up and hear the word. Get the word in you. Show up to the guest meetings. Show up to those extra meals. Why do we do this? Because we're Christians. Because we're not living like the world. There is no golf game. There is no football game. There is no picnic. There is no barbecue that is worth you not getting your harvest. Those things will bless you. You can watch the replay later. Those things will bless you. You can go golfing later. There are plenty of times when there's Saturdays and I've got to prepare for the work of the Lord, and it's a beautiful Saturday and everybody else is out playing, and that's all that I want to do. But guess what? There's sacrifice, and the sacrifice pays off. It always pays off. Praise the Lord. How? God invades your life because you sacrificed. Man, hallelujah. Glory to God. Holy, acceptable to God. See, this is the thing. When you are a blessing to God, He is a blessing to you. Now, He has blessed us with everything already, but that doesn't mean that we walk in it or have it. Because we have access to it does not mean that we go into that door. I said, because we have access to it does not mean that we go into that door. Listen, some Christians, they make this mistake. They think, well, Jesus died, paid the price. You get all you get from God if you receive Jesus. You have access to all God has for you. But that doesn't mean that you go up and take it. Amen? The Bible is very, 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 very clear on these things. Amen? And right here is where we see just how clear it is. Actually, I even wrote my Bible here. I wrote, am I a living sacrifice? I asked myself this. You say, but you're a pastor. Yes. How do I make sure that I'm a living sacrifice? I ask myself. How do I know if I'm consecrated? I ask, am I consecrated? You know, ask simple questions. You don't have to, am I right before you, Lord? I did that last night. Praise God. Hallelujah. From midnight till 3 a.m, I was up. And I sat up and I went before the Lord. And I'm like, am I right before you? Am I doing what you want me to do? Praise the Lord. Now, I wasn't necessarily up because I was just up because I couldn't sleep. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I was just decided to go spend some time seeking God and to find out something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's that simple. But notice, again, these scriptures here are written to brethren. They're written to brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? This is written to people who are already Christians. And so if you are already Christian, you qualify for this as well. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't look to this world to model your life. If you're looking at, well, the world does this. Well, they do this. If they're kids, teenagers, I'm going to tell you right now, stop looking to the world to see if you're okay. Stop looking at the world, because it ain't going to tell you if you're okay. It's going to tell you what they think, and it's not going to be okay. I'm just telling you the truth. Follow God. The best thing that you can do, parents, teach your kids to follow God. Love the Lord. Love the house of God. Serve in the house of God. Make God the absolute utmost thing in your life, because if you do that, your life will be blessed. Hallelujah. I envy these kids, these little ones like Ezra, who has never not known to be in church. She has lived her life in church. And guess what? She's always going to know the blessing of the Lord. She's not going to know trial like her daddy knew trial. Why? Because she was raised in the admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that she won't ever have opposition or trial. Of course she will. All people will. But she'll handle it way differently than I did. Amen? And when she's in her 20s, she won't live like an idiot like her dad did. Praise the Lord. And do not... Well, I got proof of it. You say, how do you have... I have a 22-year-old right here. When I was 22, we lived very different lives when I was 22 compared to when he was 20, now that he's 22. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. Why? Because he's been raised in the admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And I got another one who's doing the same too. Amen. Praise God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Okay. This is key. Man, my God, where does it go? This scripture is key. Be transformed. Be transformed. Be changed. Be changed into something new. By what? The renewing of your mind. Renewing means a change for the better. In case you didn't know, your mind needs renewed. It needs renewed every single day. How do you get your mind renewed? You become a good student of the Word. A student of the Word is someone who will have their thinking changed. How? Because you'll start looking at the Word and you'll start seeing yourself in light of the Word. You'll start seeing your reflection in this mirror and you'll say, you know what? I need to be different. I need to look different. My life needs to look different. Amen? Praise the Lord. Listen, I'm telling you, no condo bondo, man. No condemnation. If you've been out of the will of God up until this point, there's no condemnation. None. That's all. Don't sit there feeling. If you feel condemned or you feeling like, man, this is just Pastor Jeff stomping all over my toes. Stop. Yeah. I'm telling you the truth. If you just decide to go forward, it doesn't matter what happened before. You can start right now. Isn't that the greatest thing about God? You can start right now. Doesn't matter how badly you screwed up before. Doesn't matter what you came in here like. Listen, 10 minutes ago, don't matter. 10 minutes from now, right now, ain't going to matter. The only thing that matters is what you do going forward. Stop living in the past. You choose. How do we do that? Just get in the Word and find out who you are. The Bible says that you can be transformed. What do you... Now listen, if your life stinks, if your life is terrible, if your life is miserable, what does it need? It needs transformation, right? How do... And what does the Bible say? It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is it saying? It's saying, get into the Word, get your mind thinking the way God thinks, and your life will change. You want it to transform? There's one way to do it. I can't rub a magic... Or give you a magic pill. I can't rub a magic lotion on you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I wouldn't do that anyways. Amen. Not that kind of pastor. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We can't preach it with oil, but that's a little different. Glory to God. But that's not where the transformation comes from. Praise the Lord. You could have hands laid on you. We believe in that. We believe hands being laid on us will help us. But listen, those things are aids. They're not the end-all be-all. The end-all be-all is being transformed by renewing your mind. Without renewing your mind, you cannot be transformed. If your mind is the same mind it's always been, then that's because you have not become a good student of the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when you renew your mind, when you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, you can prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You will walk in that will. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to bring this up, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Take note if you want. Look at it later. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, that's 2 Corinthians, just in case, 2 Corinthians 4:16, just in case you're taking notes and you didn't get it. When we see that, the outward man is perishing. Yes, we know this body is decaying. It's dying. It's essentially, we're only here for a certain amount of time and then it's gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even if you lived as long as Methuselah, in grand scheme of things, 969 years is not that much time. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. But so even Methuselah, at 500 years old, praise the Lord, his outward man was still perishing. He still had 469 years. Look at that math. Hallelujah. But he still had 469 years left to go. Praise the Lord. But he was still perishing. Amen. So even you, you're perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. That is awesome for us. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Again, renewed here is to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. I love that. That's exactly what it said. To be changed into a new kind of life. We are being renewed day by day. We are being changed day by day. Now, this is not just the average Christian. This is not just because you sat here on a Sunday morning service. This is a Christian who has become a good student of the Word, who has allowed the Word to renew them. Praise the Lord. They allow the Word daily to change them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh man, where do I want to go in these last few moments? Praise the Lord. Well, I want to, for note takers, just take down, I was going to read to you Hebrews 4:11 through 12 in the Amplified. Go ahead and look that up on your own. Be blessed by it. The Word of God is what changes us, and that's what it's talking about. But the rest of us, let's go ahead and turn to James 1:21. Harvest-minded Christians. Man, there's so much in that. Praise the Lord. Are we harvest-minded? Listen, some people come against that, the idea of being harvest-minded. They think that's bad. They think for some reason that's coveting or whatever. God told us that if we're not harvest-minded, that we can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. That, I mean, that's simple. So Jesus made us to be harvest-minded. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He says, if you don't produce, He said, you're like a branch that will be cut off and thrown into the fire. And in reference there, he does speak about hell. So you draw conclusions to it. We need to be producing something. Amen? There's so many things in this world that we just call things what we want to call them just because we want to call them. Do you see the twisting that the devil's trying to do? When you can call anything you want it to be and just make up in your mind that it is what it is just because you thought it that way, do you know what that does to you? That makes you not be able to receive the word of God. That makes you become a Christian who becomes unfruitful, or makes you an unfruitful Christian, and you're facing hell. That's exactly what you're facing. So why do you suppose the devil wants to get the whole world thinking that way? Because he knows that a lot of Christians won't be transformed by the renewing of mind, that they will be conformed to this world. It's a dangerous thing for a Christian to conform themselves to this world. If your life looks more like the world than it does like the church, you've got a problem. I said, you got a problem. Amen. It's a warning. You can do what you want with it, but that's what it is. It's a warning. If your life looks more like the world than it does the church, well, glory to God, then there's serious issues.